Ben,
you
like
see a car crashing into
this
the farmer's
is the
market.
crossroads. You decide whether to be honest with me or just keep lying to me. If I had a video of a car crash, would you want to watch it? You know.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah.
Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Tracy Erickson.
Hi.
Hello. Ben Maxwell.
Good morning.
And Alex Rennie. That's Alex. Let's give you a status update on everybody. Alex is going away to South Africa. Tomorrow? Is that when you're flying?
Tomorrow? No, Sunday morning, early.
Early on Sunday morning to attend the Football World Cup.
Yes, in an unofficial capacity, sadly.
Yes. Chances of being killed and having your possessions stolen?
Well, we reckon about 3% a day, so it's probably about 50% by the end.
Okay. Well, that should be fun. You get to go and see some football kicking matches. I think you're probably the only person who knows anything about football in this whole chat room.
Yeah, it'd be good to see the ball being kicked from one end of the pitch to the other, and hopefully in a net.
I hope he scores a goal. I hope Pele scores a goal.
Pele, yeah. Cantona, is he still playing?
He's naughty, though. I don't like it when he kicks the audience. He kicks that man in the audience.
Yeah, he did.
Right in the audience. I hate it when that happens to me. Well, that should be fun. So you're not going to be with us for how many weeks?
Till the start of July. So what? Just two, actually.
Just 2 weeks. Falling. Yeah.
That's not as long as I thought. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. Ben, actually, nothing interesting is happening in your life, Ben.
No.
So
as usual.
Yeah, we went for a drink in Bath last night with our boss Chris James, and so we went for a drink in this pub in Bath. Tracy, you've been there. We've all been there in All Bar One. It's the unofficial gamer pub with Jez as well, one of the other directors. So we sat down. Chris has to take a Skype call, so he just disappears and says, watch my bag, will you, gents?
I'll be right back, right?
Yeah, so we were basically stuck there, just sitting around the table for about 2 hours, to the point that my car was...
2 hours?
2 hours?
My car was parked in a car park that had a two-hour limit on it, and at the end, it was over the two-hour limit, so I've got a feeling I'm going to get fined through the post, in which case Chris will be paying. But we were, you know, just chatting away, the three of us. It was quite nice. But eventually, we all just wanted to go home, and we were talking, but you could see behind the eyes, there was just this... You know, everyone was just kind of looking at the door and thinking, Jesus Christ.
We were all on tomato juice by that point.
All of us. And I was having heavy Tabasco intake, and now my tummy's a bit you know, upset. But anyway, that was fun. That's the latest adventure in Ben's life, unless something else happened to him overnight. Did it?
Next week is my last internship week.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, this is our last podcast together.
Well, is it?
Is it? All right, you're coming back?
Yeah, I'm going to remain.
Oh. Yay!
So that's good. That's us saved.
You seen that Napoleon Dynamite where he goes,
Gosh.
I have seen that. But my lips hurt real bad.
Oh.
Some skills. Girls like guys with skills. I don't have any skills.
That's actually a very good impression of the voice.
Napoleon Dynamite.
That's the best voice impression you've ever done. And it's been recorded, which is a miracle.
Excellent. I'm very proud of myself. Tracy, you've had the most exciting week, no doubt, because you've been in WWDC.
It's a magical land filled with iPhones and iPads.
How was it? Did you see an iPhone 4?
I didn't, actually, which is so sad. So Steve Jobs does his speechifying, right? And it was actually long. It was actually 2 hours, which normally Apple press events are pretty short, like Apple keynotes are short.
Yeah.
This one was really long. And then so everybody's like filing out of the keynote hall. And I'm making my way downstairs because it's on the third floor of the Moscone Center, which is this convention hall Alex, you've been there, so
I've been there.
It's smack dab in the in downtown San Francisco. So it's just filled with all these developers. And as I'm going down the stairs or the escalators, I get this text message from a colleague who says, "Where are you? Are you in the iPhone 4 demo room?" And I said, What demo room? I don't know about a demo room. And he's like, "Well, come back upstairs and to the, you know, off the side of the keynote room, there's a room and Steve Jobs is in there and they have a bunch of tables set up with just iPhone 4s. You can just come in and toy around, see what it looks like, da da da." And he's standing there. And so I go upstairs and the security is just turning people away. "Oh, you can't come here. You can't get out. You need to go downstairs. You need to go downstairs." And I said, "Well, I'm pressed. I need to, you know, I'm, you know, just want to go see the iPhone 4. You know, I was just here." And they're like, "Nope, you got to go. If anybody who is supposed to be in the room is already in there."
Jesus.
And so I had to walk downstairs. I felt so dejected. But then, and I thought, "Oh gosh, I really screwed up. I should have known better." Because usually they have a demo room. Like they did the same thing with iPad, and they had a special room set up so that way after they had announced it, you know, they just ushered you in this room. But there, it was a press only event, so they just led everybody to the room. Whereas here, I don't think they wanted developers in the room; they only wanted media.
Yeah.
So they didn't tell anybody. And I didn't find out until later, because then I met up with other media and they said that they had the same situation as me. They found out about it like 5-10 minutes after the keynote, went back upstairs and security turned them away.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's an understandable mistake. So nobody signposts the room, so you just leave, right? I understand that. What I don't get is when you're standing talking to the bouncer and he's not letting you in, what I don't get is why didn't you just grab him, just grab his wrist, just twist it behind his back, smack his head into the wall, and just say, "Look, guy, look, buddy, I'm going in," and then just kind of walk in casually. Because, you know, I think that's what I would have done. I mean, no?
What? I've not been listening to
any of this. About that strategy, I can't do that.
No, I suppose the thing is, eventually you'd get to Jobs, and you know we can all beat up a lot of bouncers, but Jobs is pretty tough. He's one of those kung fu people who can fly. I gather I've seen it on YouTube. It's not pretty.
Can you imagine his tall frame pulling the crane position? It would be really creepy.
Yeah, and he in his office there's no chair. He just hovers cross-legged. And if you knock on the door, it just drifts across. And he says it's magic, but I think it's all to do with magnets. But in any case, yeah, you probably didn't want to mess with him anyway. That was a shame. So you didn't actually see the thing, but the event itself. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the event, and then we'll move into the news. But keep it quick.
The interesting about WWDC compared to other shows that happen in the year is that it's completely closed off to media. So the actual event itself, I have no knowledge of it. It's interesting. What we went down there, myself and John Jordan and our new guy, David, we had meetings outside of the event. It was good to get a feel for where the iPhone and iPad business is right now. Not a lot of games though, at all. Actually, I mean, people were showing games that, "Oh, hey, I just released a game on the App Store," or, "Oh, you know, we're thinking about some, you know, doing a game." I got a lot of that. I met a lot of app developers who say, "Hey, oh, you write about games? You know, I'm thinking about doing an iPhone game. What do you think of this idea?" "Nope, been done before." "Oh, what about this one?" "Yeah, that one's been done too." "Really?" So
I can imagine by the end of it, people were just pointing at you going, don't speak to that guy. It's fucking miserable. Just says no to everything. Oh, so basically you just hung around outside WDC.
Crushing people's dreams.
Talking to people and telling them that their ideas were rubbish.
You got it.
Yeah, that's what Rennie's going to be doing at the World Cup, just hanging around outside stadiums because he doesn't have tickets, saying your team's fucking shite anyway. Well, let's move on to news then. The big thing that happened this week, of course, is WWDC and the announcement of the iPhone 4. That's what it's called. It's not called the 4G or the what were the other names that it was possibly going to be? The 4.0, HD, the iPhone HD, HD, yeah. Even the iPhone A4 was a suggestion by one of our writers, Will Wilson. He was wrong. Everyone was wrong. It was simpler than anyone thought. iPhone 4.
Yeah. It was always going to 4G wasn't right at any point.
Yeah.
HD I thought was looking likely.
Yeah, HD.
I like that one the best.
I suppose the thing about the HD is where do they go from there then? Like what do they call the next one? Super HD.
HD Plus.
Yeah. So it's called the iPhone 4 anyway. It's a bit zen. It's a bit simple. No one really saw it coming, but that's what it's called, and it looks very nice. I'll give you some features in a minute, but it's released on June the 24th. It'll be available for pre-order before then, I think on the 15th. It's available worldwide at the same time. In US dollars, in bucks, it costs $199 for the 16-gigabyte version and $299 for the 32-gigabyte version. It's basically the same price as the 3GS, and the 3GS has kind of slid down the line and now costs what the 3G used to cost, and so on. 3G, I think, is dead.
Oh.
It is. Rest in peace.
So they're not making it anymore, ever?
Yep, that's done. Yeah, no, they're not making it anymore.
A lot of iPhone generations have gone past without me ever having one.
But yeah.
The first iPhone came and went, never, barely even touched one. 3G, that's dead now. Still haven't owned one. 3GS, that's become the cheap one. To me, that still seems unbelievably fancy. And now it's the iPhone 4.
I let you touch the 3GS that I have once.
It is a sharper display. It's 960 by 640, which makes it 326 pixels per inch, which is extremely high for a 3.5-inch screen. It's slightly narrower, thinner than the old iPhone. It's 9.3 millimeters thick, which makes it 24% thinner than the 3GS. It doesn't use OLED, but it uses something called, what's it called?
Retinal display.
Yes, which Steve Jobs says is better than OLED. However, Samsung have come out against this and said, no, actually, OLED is better. But it has an 800:1 contrast ratio.
Is an OLED the one that you can't see in direct sunlight or something? That's what I read.
Don't know. I've never seen one. But there you are. So apparently it looks all nice and fancy and bright. Jobs was talking a lot about that on stage. It's running on an A4 processor, and it's got a bigger battery than the last one, which apparently gives you lots more talk time. It's got a 3-axis gyroscope inside, so not only will it have an accelerometer, but also a gyroscope, which makes it a bit like a PlayStation 3 controller. He demonstrated a game on stage, which was a kind of Jenga-type game. I didn't see it because I wasn't there. So, Tracy, what was the Jenga-like game like?
Oh, it's just basically the blocks were all lined up in a tower, and then he showed it with just the accelerometer, which is just 3 axes. And you could tilt the tower in place. So it was like the tower is set on one vertical axis and you can tilt it. But when you have the gyroscope on and he turned it, you know, had a new iPhone 4, switched the handset over, had the 6 axes, he could actually, depending on how he turned the handset, the actual tower would turn. It's a bit confusing in words. Like, if you see it, you would understand clearly what it means. It just means that you have more movement.
Okay. Well, more movement. That sounds good.
I like movement.
I love movement.
It'll be good. I think it will only benefit certain types of games. I mean, it's not going to make, for example, it's a subtle feature that will only make things more precise. Like, I don't think when we see, like, for example, like whenever the next Need for Speed comes out, like, it'll just make it so that way when you're tilting your handset and driving, it just means it'll be more accurate. You won't necessarily be like, oh, I definitely know it's using the gyroscope. I do know of one game that is in development. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to share what the game is called.
Give us like hints like you did last time.
It is going to be a game by a very well respected studio. I can't share any more than that. They'll be really upset. But their game will make extensive use of the gyroscope, and I spoke with them while during the conference, and they were really excited about it because it was something that they were not anticipating. So, to the site for a second, it's really, you know, only with Apple do we get these like announcements of basically a new piece of gaming hardware, and it comes out like 2-3 weeks later. Like, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Like, when a new PlayStation platform or an Xbox comes out, like, we know about it like a year or two in advance. And here it's like Monday, Apple announces iPhone 4, and we're getting it in 2 weeks. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Although we have kind of known about it. They didn't announce it, but we have known that it's coming. Usually that's not the case. Usually we don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, up until this point, it's been about their success in keeping secrets, and I know that that kind of fell to pieces this time around, but they are really good at just not letting anyone know anything until they're ready.
Mostly. I made a joke about it. I was speaking to an Apple PR girl in Bristol, and it was funny. I said something about the iPhone 4. I said, when it comes out, do you think I could get a review build? She just didn't say anything. She just didn't even risk saying no or yes, just in case she inadvertently gave me a clue, which allowed me to... So I had to kind of reassure her. You know, I said, do you think we could get a review build when it's available? Just blank. So I had to make the next move. I had to say, oh, obviously it doesn't exist. I'm not saying it exists or anything. I'm just saying that hypothetically, if it were to exist, and then eventually after weighing up the pros and cons of talking, she kind of said, well, theoretically, if it's such a secretive company, but not in this case. But yes, it is good. I like the fact that it's coming out soon because I'm a very impatient person. And it's going to have a gyroscope. It's going to have a 5-megapixel camera compared to the 3-megapixel camera that you get from the 3GS. And it records high definition video as well, at 720p, which is quite good. It's got a backside illuminated sensor, which makes your shots look better, apparently, and an LED flash. And there's a editing suite with iMovie that looked quite good from what I saw. Again, you were there, Tracy. Did that look good? Or are you like me?
Yeah, I'd actually say that's the thing. I mean, has nothing to do with games, but if I want, like, just as personally, as someone who would love to use my phone for taking pictures and video, it really appealed to me. I mean, it looked damn good. I mean, because they're, you know, granted, it's a scripted demonstration that they do during the keynote, but it looked pretty damn easy to just cobble up a, you know, decent looking video. And the fact that it gets output at 720p means that other people will actually want to watch them. Because I've taken video on my 3GS, and it's like, you show it to, I'll be like, oh my God, look at this video I shot when we were at the farmer's market. And they'll be like, oh, okay. And they're like, yeah, that looks like crap. Like, you can't see what's going on because the lighting is bad, you know. I mean, this will be like daytime. It'll be the middle of the morning. It'll be like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. The sun is out. And because I'm, you know, in the shade, and you know there's not direct sunlight, the video doesn't come through.
Are you sure it's not? But, look at this video I took at the farmer's market. I don't think so. That looks like crap. What, because of the resolution? No, because it's a video of a farmer's market. You know, show me someone surfing or, you know, a car crash. You sure that's not it? It's generally the...
A car crash? That's horrible.
Who here would not, if I said, look, I've you know...
Me, got, I would watch it.
Yeah, you would. Repeatedly. Well, clearly. Ben,
I like to see a car crashing into the farmer's market.
This is the crossroads. You decide whether to be honest with me or just keep lying to me. If I had a video of a car crash, would you want to watch it? You know.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yes.
Of course. Good. Now, good. Now we can move.
But you have never. You've clearly never been to a Portland, Oregon farmer's market because I guarantee you that it. There's plenty of interesting things to watch going on at a farmer's market in this city.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Yeah. Okay. Well, I did. The only farmers market I've ever been to is one in Liverpool, and it was about, you know, the whole thing was about 20 yards long. It's just had a few kind of, you know, bread rolls,
all right,
jams.
I'm gonna buy some bread.
Oh no. This is no. Here in Portland, it's like, yeah, you got like local bakeries and stuff. But we have a lot of farmland here, so there's lots of different produce, and then there's also where. We have a lot of local seafood, so because we're not quite on the coast, but so all of the fishermen will come in from the coast, which is about an hour and a half away. So they'll have live crabs, they'll have clams, they'll have oysters, and then there's all these like street performers that'll come.
Oh,
and then yeah, I mean there's like a lot. So you have like there's always like some it's. Always so stereotypical. It's like some barefoot banjo band that'll be there and they'll be playing music. And then you've got like protesters. There's always protesters in Portland. Always. Even for the war in Iraq, which is kind of like winding down, they're still protesting. It's like, actually it's kind of finishing up. You're getting what you wanted. Yay.
And we got to do Afghanistan now. It's all about Afghanistan.
See, it told you they'll be there for that next.
Good. Oh, well, now I'm intrigued. Now I really want to go to the Portland
You'd like
farmer's
it.
Market.
You'd
yeah. Like. Yeah, it sounds like it. good. Well, maybe that'll happen one day. That's the iPhone 4. And it's out, as we said, very soon, and it costs the same as what the 3GS does now. There are various, I think AT&T is offering some deal in America, but we don't care about that. There are similar deals in the UK. I'm not exactly sure what they involve, but O2 is offering something. You know, if you're in the middle of the contract, then you can upgrade for a small amount of money.
No, it's not. It depends where you are in the contract. It's £20 for every remaining month of your contract.
Yeah.
So for me, I'd end
That's
up
ridiculous.
Paying more than the handset in order to then pay for the handset in my contracted monthly
sorry,
payment.
Sorry, how much is that?
That is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's £20 a month for every remaining month of your contract. If you've still got, you know, 18 months to go, like you probably do, then that's not all that good. But
you can buy the handset at the pay as you go price and then just switch straight over.
You know, I only have
that's nice of them.
Yeah, I know.
That's nice of them. You just buy it. Just buy the whole thing. It only costs
£600. Buy the whole thing
pounds.
And continue to pay for your other handset through your monthly payments anyway.
Jerks.
So if... Did they say that you could get it early at all? Because I have 6 months, so
yeah, you can get it early, but you'll have to pay
£120. Yeah.
For £120, you can get an iPhone 4, which isn't that bad for an iPhone.
Yeah, the closer to the end you are, the better it works out, I suppose. But
you have to sign up one of these new contracts, don't you?
Oh yeah, you have to go to 18 or 24 months again as well, and there's the data problem.
So here's what they should do. I mean, it's never going to happen. I know that it's a pipe dream, but here's what an easy solution: say, okay. Let's say, you know, Rob, for example, you don't have an iPhone. So this is 4 is going to be your first iPhone, okay? So you get it, and you get put into a contract or whatever, and they tell, you know, then O2 can say, well, when the next one comes out, you continue to be on contract, you renew the contract, but you just pay an upgrade fee. And that's it. You say, okay, you don't have to do this. You don't have to get the next iPhone. If you don't want to, it's going to cost you £100 or it's going to cost you £150, whatever. But that makes it just so much simpler. Because this is just confusing. 20 pounds per month left on your contract. That just seems so arbitrary. I mean, really, it does.
Mm. Yeah. Have you released the prices yet? Are they anywhere?
No tariff details, but the carriers currently announced are 3, T-Mobile, Vodafone, Orange, and O2.
O2 have got some tariffs.
Well, Tesco have announced
theirs. Where are O2 tariffs on their site?
O2's tariffs are in this story I published yesterday called O2 Announces iPhone 4 Tariffs But Stops Unlimited Data Usage.
I'm probably just going to look on the O2 site.
Oh, yeah, I read that story, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I read that story while I was subbing it.
Yeah. Where is the 12-month contract? Where is that?
There isn't Bastard. One. You could only
They don't
you
make
get
any money off of a 12-month contract.
Well, no,
that's
you
why
can.
The
they've got a
contract.
They've got a simplicity tariff, which is 12 months,
phone,
and you pay. No, but you have to pay for the phone and then pay your monthly, your monthly payment as well for the.
That makes zero sense.
But what's the point in that? That's not a tariff. That's just. Buy yourself a phone, and then we'll give you a SIM.
Yeah,
and it's more. Is it more expensive than normal SIMs? Or...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, 20 quid for 600 minutes with just a SIM card is expensive. Yeah, what's this unlimited Wi-Fi? Thanks for my unlimited Wi-Fi. thanks for
letting me
use it in
my
house on my internet that I pay for.
The unlimited Wi-Fi, to be fair to them, might be that you have unlimited access to the BT open zone.
But it never works. It's never, ever worked for me once. I would say in about 10 times I've tried it, it's never worked for me.
I've got a grudge going with the BT open zone, which is this. There's one near my house, so I'm within a BT open zone. A lot of people are. And on my old laptop, not on my current laptop, so the grudge is kind of over, it would always connect to the BT open zone first, and I couldn't work out a way to get it not to connect to that instead of my computer. And it made me incredibly angry.
That's just you, really. That's not BT's fault.
It is BT's fault. Everything's BT's fault. So that's the iPhone 4. That's the big news of the week. And other than that, it's just a kind of handful of game announcements. And
goodbye from us.
Yes, it's goodbye. Oh, wait. I mean, there's still more to say about the iPhone 4. For example, there's no more unlimited surfing from O2, the UK priority we've already been castigating. It's not going to offer unlimited surfing. Instead, for
£5
a month, for you get 500 megabytes, and for £10, you get 1 gigabyte.
Oh, that's not until October, though.
That's on top of your.
That is a rip off.
Yeah. Okay, but let's just leave it there. We don't want to linger. Apple has released its top. Oh, it changed the name of OS. You know, OS 3, OS 4. Change that to iOS, which I think is an incredibly ugly construction. A bit like iAds. I think Apple, for all that its design sensibilities are peerless, it linguistically, it's pretty weak. OIS. You just look at it and you go, OIS? 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 It looks like the end of a French word. OIS? Top 10 OIS apps. Anyway, and the top 10 OIS apps are... In terms of games, Doodle on iPhone, Doodle Jump, Brushes, Articles, Jamie's 20-Minute Meals, this is Jamie Oliver, and Real Racing. And on iPad, they are the Financial Times iPad Edition, Tab Toolkit, Flight Control HD, Pinball HD, and Star Wars for iPad. Pro Evolution Soccer 2010 has been submitted to the App Store, so it's going through the approval process. That means it should be out any day now, really, I suppose. Some screenshots have been coming out. Also announced this week, Gangstar West Coast Hustle on iPad. Quack has arrived. That's an old Amiga game. That's out now. Tony Hawk has come out on iPhone. So if you're interested in skateboarding games, then that'll please you. Risk is on its way.
Is Risk coming out?
Yeah.
Another type board game.
The rumor miner was correct.
Rumor miner predicted that one.
Boom! Yep. Go rumor miner.
Boom! Don't say boom in a mine.
cold dust explosion, we're all dead.
GTA Chinatown Wars iPad is announced, so that's coming. We're going to get a proper high res version of that. That's going to look nice. Godfinger,
I think it'll look nice.
Yeah, I reckon so. I reckon they'll do stuff to it.
Oh. Oh, I'm hesitant on that one. I'm a skeptic on that one.
Last week you had an issue with Broken Sword, didn't you? And you said they upscaled it, but they didn't do a very thorough job. But Rockstar, I don't think they don't make mistakes.
Yeah, they do.
What did they do then that was a mistake?
The iPhone version of Chinatown Wars had the PlayStation Portable button icons in the menus.
That's all right, though, isn't it? It's not.
That's a mistake.
Why is it a mistake?
It's an error.
Because it was.
Okay.
Fine, okay. Let me give you a different example. Have you ever played a game called Manhunt 2?
No.
It was horrible.
That was a mistake. Okay, fine. Yeah, that was a mistake. And it was banned in this country for.
Exactly.
For quite a while. And then when it was coming out, it was a bit sad because it was banned. And then everyone who, like the general liberal and gaming public, were sort of, oh, what? You can't ban a game? Just release it. Come on. We're grown ups. We can play it. And then that went on for a couple of months. And then it was released. And everyone just went, oh, shit. Oh. And it was,
yeah.
Because you expect it to be. But that's a bit like how I felt with Clockwork Orange, which was banned banned in this country until. Yeah, it was banned in this country until he died, basically, because the ban was imposed by Stanley Kubrick. It wasn't the censors who said this can't be made be shown. It was Stanley Kubrick himself who said society basically can't.
The UK can't handle this shit.
Yeah, so he banned it, and after he died, obviously
banned everywhere.
Everyone just defied his wishes, and it came out. I don't know if it was banned internationally, but it was in the UK. So after my whole life of thinking, oh God, this film that's been banned my whole life, this is going to be wild. What a scene, man! I'll probably never get over it. And then I watched it and just sort of left the room with a shrug because it wasn't all that bad. I'm sure Manhunt is okay. Rockstar do make mistakes, and possibly the iPad version would be good, but I think it'll look nice. I don't know.
Beta Raider, have you played Beta Raider iPhone?
No, I'm not. Ooh. Not really interested in rhythm games, to be honest.
You know that Risk game? Is that iPad or is that iPhone?
iPhone.
It's been announced for iPhone.
Oh, what?
Oh, that wording, though, leads me to believe that perhaps there's an iPad version coming.
I would bet on it. iPad version should be first. Well, maybe not first, but, you know, it'll work a lot better on the iPad.
Shit, you're absolutely right. Well, Chinatown Wars may or may not be good, and it's coming to iPad to join the iPhone and iPod Touch. Godfinger is coming to iPhone, so that initially came out on iPad, and now we're going to get an iPhone version. How nice. Guitar Hero iPhone came out. Actually, that was one of the games that was demonstrated the other day by Steve Jobs or by someone else who came on. And it was basically, it came out during the speech, from what I can gather, just in the way that Apple sort of announces things, and then bam, there they are. That's what happened with Guitar Hero. They announced it, and then there it was in the App Store. And that's it, really. Oh, except this is quite an interesting one. I think you'll be interested in this, Tracy. Frogman, which heard about quite a while ago, which is kind of a 3D polygon version of Frogger, with the frog was, you know, a superhero in a cape, and you were basically doing the same thing, or so it seemed. You were, you know, jumping on logs to get across rivers, or you're weaving between traffic to get across roads. But instead of it being the classic arcade Frogger with the blocky frog, you were a big fancy frog. And it was originally, we heard about it about the same time as is it Konami's Frogger came out? Yeah, Frogger, like the port of Frogger.
They had just released Frogger Inferno. That's what happened.
Frogger Inferno. That's it, where fire comes out of his bum. And so that came out, and then we heard Frogman, and then that was going to come out, and then it just disappeared again. And then halfway through the week, I think it was the day before yesterday, I got an email from Revolutionary Concepts, just saying, the first time I looked at it, I just didn't know what I was seeing. But what they'd done was basically they'd released Frogman, but it's not Frogman anymore. Now it's called Banzai Rabbit, and it's not about a frog, it's about a rabbit. So it seems to be the same game, but with a rabbit instead of a frog. And it's out now, so you can go and buy it. I was assured that, obviously I asked the question when I got the email. I emailed back and said, oh, interesting. Did you by any chance, was it by any chance a licensing issue that made you not release it as Frogman? And he said, no, of course not. Everyone's been saying that, but no, it's nothing to do with licensing. So apparently it's nothing to do with that. It's just because they decided that it was different enough from Frogger, the game itself. It was, you know, it's, to compare it to Frogger would be doing it a disservice. This is Revolutionary Concepts' version of events. So they changed it to Banzai Rabbit to make it distinct. So there we are. We can leave the news now. Actually, well, I'll give something a plug, which is something we're running on Pocket Gamer, which I mentioned the other day in the last podcast, which is the Developers World Championship, which is a running feature throughout the World Cup. You'll be able to go onto Pocket Gamer, and every time there's a game in real life around about the same time as that, we'll be putting two developers and their games up against each other in the Developers World Cup. It's a little bit confusing because some developers have more than one game, or some countries have more than one game kind of in their squad. So, for example, if Firemint are representing Australia, and I imagine they are, then in one of their matches they might have Flight Control representing them, and another one they might have Real Racing representing them. The competition will work in exactly the same way as the World Cup, so it's a knockout thing. There's the group stages, and then after that it turns into a knockout competition. And the way each of the games are won or lost is half and half, a kind of vote, where the reader, that's you, who you're being a listener at the moment, but you're also sometimes a reader, go to Pocket Gamer and you look at the match and you vote for which game and which country you want to win, and then we kind of look at that, and then we also apply our own analysis to which game we think is better, and if necessary, completely overrule your votes, and you know, decide a winner. And that's how it works. To the voting page is www.pocketgamer.co.uk/iPhone World Cup, iPhone WC rather. So yeah, you can go to that throughout the World Cup. Now we can go to the rumor mine.
Rumor. Rumor.
So here we are in the rumor mine. What's been happening this week? Let's see what the rumor miner has been saying. Tracy, you know him best. What's he been saying?
Oh my God, so much. E3 is next week, so it's like rumor mine is kicking into high gear. There's so much stuff.
Rumor mine explosion.
That he has told me. Yeah. Boom. Big one. It's actually been announced. Telltale Game is working on two new series of games based on big movie licenses, and they are Jurassic Park and Back to the Future. Mm. Now, they haven't announced what platforms they're releasing these games on, but the rumor miner says it's coming to iPad. So, excellent. You may have T-Rexes and little kids on your iPad soon.
I'm excited about the Back to the Future game. Like, although there have been several Back to the Future games and they've all been fairly disappointing, I still, because I like the film so much, I'm sort of excited about that. How would they do it? I think a point-and-click adventure would be the best format for a Back to the
Future. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It'll definitely be a point-and-click adventure if Telltale is handling it. Which, I have to say, I think that's actually a phenomenal fit, because Back to the Future is kind of, you know, a little bit cheeky, and Telltale has, you know, their games are kind of like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a marvelous fit. I think whoever got those two to sit down at a table is sitting pretty right now.
Very good. Michael J. Fox he's still with us, but he's unfortunately got Parkinson's disease. So will he be doing the voices? How does he speak these days? I hope he can. I hope he can come back.
I think he speaks fine. I like Michael J. Fox.
So do I. He's a great guy.
He was in Scrubs more recently. I mean, I know that's years and years and years ago now, because we get Scrubs after America. But yeah, he did an episode as a doctor with OCD. He was really good in it. Really good. Oh. That's the last thing I've seen him in. You know, that's the most recent experience I've had of him.
Yeah. Well, let's hope he does it. And obviously his fee's not too big. Greedy. That's the other thing about him. He's greedy. Yeah. So let's hope he does it. But if he doesn't, you know, still be good. And Jurassic Park. What? So if
well,
it's Telltale
sparing.
Games,
uh-huh, yeah.
Is that going to be a point and click adventure then, if Jurassic Park? Because that, to me, Back to the Future seems a really good fit for a point and click adventure game. Jurassic Park seems to me should be an action game, because it's about dinosaurs.
I assume it'll be an adventure game. I mean, that's all Telltale Games does.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's slight. I mean, I'm sure it will be good, but that's a slight wasted opportunity. I think really what they should do is release a game, a Jurassic Park game, but where you fly a plane and you just strafe over the island, just shooting dinosaurs, and then maybe there's a bit where you're riding on a dinosaur, a bit like Road Rash, just like chopping other dinosaurs' heads off. I think like a Street Fighter 2 dinosaur level where you're having a fight with a velociraptor.
We've just copied things that
these ideas, and I'm not copywriting them. So if you're listening, Telltale, draw from this well.
Give me some money.
Because it is delicious.
Steal these.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll see you in court later on. That's good. So what's the next rumor? We like that one.
Quick aside though, there actually is a game where you can punch a velociraptor.
Oh my god.
It just came out on Xbox 360. Activision released. It was PS3 and Xbox 360. What was it called?
Is this a Turok game?
No, it wasn't the Turok game. It was like a budget release. But I remember seeing a screenshot of... It's a first-person shooter, and I remember seeing a screenshot of a fist going into a... punching a velociraptor in the jowl.
My
that
God.
Sweet.
That's an instant download. I'm going to research and download
it. Yeah, look it up. I think it came out like a couple months ago. But anyway, rumors. Big rumor regarding Bethesda. They've been talking for a while about releasing a big iPhone game, and I know that the rumor miner I talked about potentially there being Fallout Tactics coming from the core Bethesda team, because Bethesda consists of basically two companies. Two development teams. You've got the people who do Fallout and Oblivion, which is kind of Bethesda proper. And you have also now the new team, or I should say the team that joined them over at id, which you may remember is responsible for Doom and Quake, and are working on this new game called Rage, which is coming to consoles, PC, and Mac. Well, the guy who heads up id, John Carmack, loves Apple. He loves iPhone. And they've done a couple of games. Most of them are just ports of their older ones. But he's been promising for a while to be doing some new stuff for the phone. Rumor Miner says that they are going to release a offshoot game for Rage when that game comes out.
Okay. Right, so Rage iPhone has kind of that's been rumored for a while, but it's definitely something we want to see, isn't it? So Rage isn't out yet on the main consoles, is it?
No, it hasn't even released it yet. Yeah,
no. There's a brilliant preview movie you can watch of it, but apart from that, that's all that's been revealed.
So it seems like quite a while then. It seems like quite a while that it's been in development. Is it going to be?
Yeah.
Is it coming to have a release date?
Yeah. No, I have a feeling though. They just did a. They did a press tour at the beginning of May, and then they're going to be showing it next week in Los Angeles. So I imagine it's getting close. I think
they're famed
for
their kind of. Sorry, Tracy. They're famed for their done when it's done kind of policies anyway. So they take the time and it will eventually arrive.
Yeah, like Duke Nukem Forever, which I think will eventually come out in 2015 as a match 3 puzzler for iPhone. Sadly.
Yeah.
That's my rumor. That's another one. Bonus rumor.
Three rumors.
Yeah. Good. So what else have we got?
Dunno.
The perennial favorite of the rumor mine, Game Loft, as we all know, has been releasing tons of iPhone and iPad games. Kind of a bit of a mystery as to what they have for the rest of the year, the second half of the year.
Sorry about this.
It will be.
Hello?
Sorry, I'm not interested.
He's so
unfair.
Sorry.
Buy it.
Hopefully, buy it. I haven't just.
Was that Joao?
I hope not, because whoever it was just said, because I get so much spam calls, just people calling up and saying hello, and hello, are you, Budi Braj? No, I'm not. No, I get that all the time. It's always the same guy. No, I'm not. He doesn't live here. Well, maybe you can help me then.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm getting so cross with it. And that one, obviously. But he said, hello, how are you? No, I'm not interested. Hang up. Then I thought, maybe, I hope that wasn't just Susie's dad with a cold. So I will be in trouble.
So perennial favorite of the rumor mine is Gameloft. They've been releasing a lot of games. What they're releasing for the latter half of the year, though, is a bit of a mystery. We know Hero of Sparta 2 is coming. Let's Golf 2 is coming. There was talk of Castle of Magic 2, although I have not seen that, not heard of that for more than 6 months, because they were talking about that back in December, and it just kind of fell off the radar. Well, the rumor miner, in addition to Gangstar Sin City, which he talked about a couple weeks back, he's now saying that there's going to be a sequel to Tom Clancy's Hawks. It's going to come out sometime this autumn, alongside the console version.
And that is a aeroplane game.
Yep.
Good. So yeah, and that was well thought of, wasn't it? Hawks. Was that multiplayer?
Yeah, local multiplayer. Rumor miner is saying that there may be a chance that we'll get online play with this one through Gameloft Live, although he couldn't verify it. I'm actually kind of curious if they'll... I mean, here's a good example of a game that could potentially take advantage of the gyroscope. For more, you know what I mean? Because that would make flying a lot more precise.
Yeah, no, that'd be excellent. We've seen that it works with the SGN games, the Skies of Glory and all that, which were possibly even more well thought of than Hawks, but it's definitely a format that works, so that could be exciting. Excellent. Well, we'll see.
I have my own rumor, and I do know of a Gameloft sequel that is being announced at E3, and it is something that the rumor miner has mentioned before. So if you're familiar with the rumor miner and you go back and look at all the Gameloft games that he's been talking about the last, I'd say, 2 months, you should be able to figure it out. It's a Gameloft game. It's a sequel. It's a sequel to a game that's already on iPhone and iPod Touch. It's going to be announced next week. I think everybody's gonna like it. Everybody's gonna be excited for it. Anyway, I think we're done with the rumor line.
It's gone. Let's talk about what we've been playing.
What we've been playing.
I've been playing, again, relatively little. I've been playing. I'm gonna start. I've been playing the pool game that I've been playing, for weeks now. Virtual Pool HD. It's awesome. I should really do a review of it.
Good idea.
Yeah, I should. It's probably only been out for 6 months, but needs a review. The developers, if they're listening, are going, yes, do a review, because you clearly like it. I also downloaded Scrabble. Had a bit of that on an iPad. That's good.
Oh, yeah. We were trying to have multiplayer, though, but you can't have it.
No. That. Yeah, okay, so let's mention that. Downloaded it, tried to play multiplayer. Can't be done in the UK.
Can you do it in the US.
Do it in the US. You do it through Facebook. Try and do it in the UK.
Oh,
not going to happen.
Really?
Furious. I was furious because I paid for it. £6. I don't pay £6 for things. But I thought I'll pay £6 for this. We'll see what happens.
Why is that the case? We should put something up on the site about that. We should write about that. People need to know that.
Surely it's already. Surely it's already common knowledge. I mean, I just thought I haven't.
I haven't heard of that. If it was common knowledge, why would none of us have ever heard that?
I downloaded the US version of Scrabble on the iPad, and then tried to play Rob because it's got a button that says "Play Facebook Friends." So then I tried to play Rob, but Rob didn't have that button because he had an earlier version. But all the graphics are different, so I'm pretty sure it's a licensing thing. Because the Scrabble logo is completely different to the UK Scrabble logo.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, so I was curious. So that was... So I can't play Scrabble multiplayer, which is angering, annoying. But let's leave it at that. And the game itself is just fine. It's just really Scrabble. I'm quite glad to have it because Susie and I like playing Scrabble, and we lost our Scrabble board. Well, we had to return our Scrabble board to Susie's parents, who were the owners of it a couple of years ago. Now we've got Scrabble again. That's all there is to say about that, really. It's a perfectly workable Scrabble game on iPad. £6 seems kind of pricey, but you know, if you buy it on the if you buy the board game, it'll cost you about £30 probably. So there you are. I've been playing that, and I did also download a game called Lil Racers, which is a sort of top-down racing game, similar to, I would say Micro Machines, but it's not really similar to Micro Machines, except it's a top-down racing game. It's kind of like Super Skid Marks on the Amiga, if that's not going too far back. you have to go quite far back to find a comparison for this game, I think, because it is, you know, it's quite simplistic. It's top down. It's a rally game, so there's a lot of skidding involved, which is why it's similar to the game Super Skid Marks. And it's fairly simple. You just race around these tracks. You've got an accelerometer button. You've got, you know, steer left, steer right. The steering buttons are slightly odd. They are, you know, like the back button on a browser, which is a sort of circle with an arrow at the end of it, a circle that nearly completes itself, but it, you know, there's an arrow at the end. The steering buttons are like that. It seems sort of weird, but everything else about it is completely unremarkable. Nice graphics, and it's fine. I don't think we'll be doing a review. We might do one, but there we are. There's that. And Virtual Pool HD, which is excellent. And that's me. I'm finished. Rennie, why don't you tell us about what you've been playing?
I have actually been playing games.
Go on then.
I have been playing games on the iPad. And I have played, I tell you, Angry Birds HD, obviously. That was my first...
You're always playing HD.
It's not HD, it's HD.
HD. Angry Birds. Yeah, it's not that exciting, really, to be honest. Wasn't really that excited about it. It was all right. I played Warp Gate. I don't know if anyone's played Warp Gate. it was very boring. I didn't get through the tutorial. I got like halfway through and I was like, what? No, this isn't fun.
The graphics?
They're a bit. I didn't think they were absolutely terrible, but they're a bit retro. But they weren't terrible. They worked, I suppose. I suppose I could have done it nicer. I did play Tweet Defense, which I thought was quite nice.
Hmm. Yeah, I was intrigued. How does it work?
Just a tower defense game for iPad.
But what's the tweet component of it?
Oh, you can tweet stuff, but I hate Twitter, so basically it was just defense for me. There was no tweeting.
How do you tweet?
Basically, link the... Well, the tweet part comes in. You link up your Twitter account to the game, and then you get these special booster towers based on your Twitter stats, and those, you know,
really
boost your weapons. Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying because my Twitter stats are one post, no followers.
So you're missing out on booster towers.
It's all right because the game was far too easy anyway. I got through the first four levels on hard without dying and then thought, this is too easy, and stopped playing it. Plants v Zombies HD. Played that. Yeah, it's quite nice. Looks nice. Played Pinball HD. Not that good. Bit crappy. I thought they could do a much better job for that. Played Football Manager 2010. Rubbish. Absolutely nothing like the PC version. Nowhere near as good. I don't know if we've reviewed that or not. I assume we have, because it's a big game. But if we have, and we've given it a good score, then it is false, because it is not fun whatsoever. It's nothing like the PC version. It's got no level of detail in it.
But it's not supposed to be like the PC version. It's not the PC version.
I know, but yeah. Making it not like the PC version has made it shit. Basically. Because so if I'd never seen the PC version, then I think, oh, this is all right, I suppose. Uh-huh. It's not terrible. But because I have seen the PC version, it's just ruined it.
What's uh-huh. it? What are the problems? What are the relative
it's just,
problems?
It's just lacking major details, and it's very, very, it's much too simplistic. They could have made it a lot
what
more.
What do you
detailed.
Mean, details? What, like, give us an example of detail?
Like, I don't know, like the strategy side of things, like buying players, contract negotiations, training, looking for jobs. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't have really ported the vast majority of the PC version uh-huh. onto the iPhone with maybe a smaller player database to keep the size of it down. And
yeah.
It sucks, basically. 3 out of 10 from A. Rennie, who is not an official reviewer. Oh, a game I have played, actually, is Transport Tycoon Deluxe, which is out on the iPad for free, kind of, because it's open transport TTD, which is, I think it's become freeware now or something. So, yeah, they've got Transport Tycoon Deluxe on the iPad. So I don't know if anyone ever played that in the past, but if you did...
No. Then... I used to be obsessed.
Yeah, well, don't... Oh, you haven't got an iPad.
I can't... Lol. Yeah, I'm stuck.
Lol.
But I've got it on my PC, so I'll be all right.
Who's not got it on what? The PC?
Jesus.
Who uses PCs?
God, now you're just showing off, Ben. You're almost as up to date as an inner city school. I'm going to give you an update on Little Races because I've been playing it as you've been talking. It's still quite fun, but I've noticed that as you go around and around the track, there are spectators on the side of the road. Some of them obviously kind of wander across the road every so often. As you race around and around and around, the road becomes increasingly full of splattered dead bodies. Mm-hmm. Odd.
I like that.
Yeah.
What? That's what you're getting in.
It's I know. They. It's in every other respect, it's very normal. You've got nitro, which I suppose makes it a bit funky. But you can also, completely out of nowhere, just people die on the track and their bodies just stay there. Nice functionality. Anyway, sorry.
Fast and Furious Bloodlust.
Yeah. Roadkill.
Somebody call up iPlay now. Stat.
Oh, I played 2010 FIFA World Cup.
Oh, yes.
But I played it on the iPad, the iPhone version. So obviously it looked a bit crappy. Yeah. But that's not
actually,
really.
The controls weren't great either.
Yeah. No, the controls were okay.
Weren't they?
The controls were okay.
Right in the middle of the screen and miles away. That's what I always find when I play iPhone games on the iPad.
You can do that two times thing to make it bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but then the controls are just really kind of big and they're still not exactly in the right place.
I think they're better than the big, do you not think?
I don't.
Bigger controls are better?
On that game, it actually shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah,
because the controls are in the really deep set in the corners.
Oh, fine. Okay. Maybe I'll give that a go. I quite like football games.
Yeah, it's quite good.
If you're going to do a football game, do X2. Don't do... X2 is definitely the best one so far this year. We'll have to see how Winning Eleven turns out.
Yeah.
Pro Web.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. That's it. I've played loads of games. Jesus.
My God, that's a record.
For like the next
I'm impressed,
eight
Alex. That's
you're
good.
Like you're like a camel. You don't play no games for weeks. You just have a desert and then you've just loaded up with water, and I imagine for the next few weeks. Unless you play loads of games in South Africa.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I will. That's why I was putting them on, really, because I've got the iPad, obviously, so you want to just fill it with apps and crap. So I think that's why I played loads of games, and then I can play them in South Africa.
So in the small, you know, in the very remote eventuality that your iPad doesn't get stolen in South Africa, you can talk about what you've been playing while you're over there when you get back. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what have you been playing?
Two main games. Aerox, which I started playing last night, which I'm writing a preview on. It's come across from iPad to iPhone, I think. I played up to level 7, and it seems it's quite enjoyable. You know, you roll a ball. It's like Monkey Ball, but without the character. It's got a bit more of a futuristic, clinical look to it. The silver platforms in the middle of the sky. It's got a really floaty dynamics, so you it feels like you're moving too slowly. And then when you leave a platform or jump off a ramp, you sort of float down. But your ball is textured like metal. So it I don't know, it doesn't move as you expect it to. But I got up to level 7, and the ball won't move. I can't get out of the starting bit. I'm stuck there. And I can't skip ahead to other levels. So I don't know. I'm going to try again today, see what I can do.
try and get that ball out again today.
Yeah, absolutely. Try and,
just don't do it.
The balls are stuck in a hole.
Leave it at home, though, eh?
Put a load of butter on them. And then fry.
But yeah, so, up until that point, it was okay. I don't know what I think. Well, it was free because it's a preview build, so I don't know what it costs. It's not out yet, is it, on App Store? But
you should tell them about that fault, though.
Well, quite. Well, I'm trying to establish if there's something wrong with my phone. Like maybe my accelerometers have just died at level 7, so I'm going to try some other accelerometer games. that's another possibility. And you know, I've got it on my list. I'm going to tick them off as I go.
Hello, developers. I may be shit at this game, or it may be broken.
Could you please look into this for me?
Dear Ben, it is because you are shit.
Yes, but then Oscar, another game, might be shit at the game. Yes.
That I've been playing is Fox vs. Duck, which is also accelerometer controlled and appears to work fine. So that rules out that. So it's either that I'm shit or the game's broken. But in this, it's a really... Fox v. Duck. It's just a really stylized, illustrative, grey colour scale. So the big circle, that's the pond. Your little duck drops in. And then you just tilt the phone to get it to the edge of the pond and away. But there's a fox that's patrolling the outside of the pond.
Trying
to eat your duck.
Like it ate that child in London.
Like it ate those two children, exactly. But you don't drop babies into the pond. They're ducks. I've got to make sure.
That's an update. Clear.
Yeah. Maybe further down the line, DLC. But also, there's a koi carp in there that is partial to duck meat. And will kill you if it gets you. So, but this it's really calm. The whole look of it, this grey colour scale, and then the almost Japanese Zen-like music. Just, you know, those pipes that have water that just... In Japanese gardens that tip every so often and make a chiming noise. It's that kind of sound. But then if your duck gets killed, this pool of red develops and stays there on the ground, or after the kind of fox shakes it about in its head, tearing it to pieces. It's really violent. It really is at odds with the calm nature elsewhere, which makes it quite shocking. But it's loads of fun. The initial release had a bit of a problem because often times you're duck would drop into the pond and the carp would just kill it straight away because it happened to be there. But they've updated it and it now doesn't do that. It plays stupid and goes away. Gives you a chance each time. But obviously the fox speeds up, the carp speeds up, or koi carp, whatever it is. And things get intense and you have to just get as many out as you can. But you can also get a high score for killing. So, you know, depending on your personality, something there for everyone.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. I would recommend it.
Excellent.
This
Fox
is a good bit of
the
podcast, yeah.
Duck.
There's a lot of detail in there.
I've seen this game. This isn't,
I've
we should say,
too. I've played isn't... it. You actually make me want to play it, though.
Is it out?
Yeah,
for a while, I think. Yeah, you showed me it a couple of months ago.
How much is it, sorry?
$99.59, yeah.
Yes, I think
it's... I'm buying it. Buying it right now.
Wow.
On the iPhone.
You won't regret it.
Okay, so... So that's what you've been playing, Ben. And so, Tracy, I imagine you've been playing some exciting things.
I have. I've played new NG Moco games, which I can't talk about until the 21st of the month. I didn't get to play, but I did see Galaxy on Fire 2. And let me tell you, boys, this is going to be the first must-have iPad title since Mirror's Edge. Looks damn good.
Excellent. And of course, our old colleagues and former podcast host Fraser McInnes is writing it. And him and Spanner. Spanner and Fraser are doing script work on it.
Oh really? Yeah. Wow.
These guys have put in so much. I'm speaking about Fish Labs in general now. These guys have put so much work into this game and it's paying off. It looked running on iPad. It looked like an Xbox, like an original Xbox game. it looks really good. And they're still, let's see, July, August, September. They still have got about 3 months left of development. So I'm excited about it. That was the that was the game that I saw. I didn't see very many games at WWC, but I saw that was definitely the highlight. Okay. Other than that, let's see. I played Guitar Hero, which I actually liked. Had a nice little strumming mechanic, which is cool. And I'm playing Princess Fury, which I always in my mind say Princess Furry for some reason, even though I know there's only one R.
It's because you're a pacifist. You're afraid. Afraid of the Fury. Fear of the Fury. Is it any good?
Yeah, I like it. It's fun. It's, you know, it's just a beat 'em up. I mean, basically go around jamming on the attack button.
But is it like that? I'm thinking of that Blades game. Is it like that? Twin Blades, or what it was called?
I actually did play Twin Blades, but I know what you're saying. No, it's not like that because it's more like a two-dimensional Dynasty Warriors. So You've got a squad of AI-controlled characters that are, jamming on their buttons too. You know, computer is just causing hack and slash. That's the word. They're just hacking and slashing away while you're jamming on jamming on the attack button. So it's like that. And if they die, they're gone, and then you're on your own. I was stuck on a boss at one point earlier this week, because my guys were dying, and I had to. It's a bit of a level grind, so you're not going to like it if you don't like RPGs, because you definitely have to replay stages in order to get the experience and level up to beat some of the later advanced stages. But you unlock new, but there's incentive because as you level up, you get new abilities. So you don't feel like it's completely worthless. It's not a total grind.
Okay. So you're generally positive?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, that's it. That's what we've been playing. Very good. So this is another long podcast, of course. We always try and make them short, but it never happens. We've just got so much to say. As I said before, go to Pocket Gamer and vote in the Developer World Championship. It's all very exciting. And also go to Pocket Gamer and just read. Just hang around, you know. Comment on a few stories, you know, but not if you're trying to sell us handbags or anything to help us with our erectile dysfunction. We're not interested. But if you've got genuine comments to make, then do that, you know. Just soak up the atmosphere. Just spend some time in Casa de Pocket Gamer and give us a vote on a rating on iTunes. And aside from that, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
So good from me.
Goodbye from me.